Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee at the Wild Horse with Richie Kotzen of the Winery Dogs. Richie, man, thanks for joining us.
All right, how you doing?
I'm good. Now, you're like deep in the middle of this tour right now.
Yeah, we are.
Like worldwide, right?
Well, that's the plan. We've got the tour now in the United States, and we're going to take a break for the holidays so we get some family time in, and then we're going to go back out again, head to Europe and South America, Japan, and who knows where this will take us.
Hey, man, let's start with this very cool guitar.
Okay. Well, this is my guitar. It's my signature model Fender Telecaster, made to my specifications. And the first thing I should tell you is the wood. Obviously, it's a maple fingerboard, because for whatever reasons, I learned many years ago that that's what I prefer. And the body is a flame top swamp ash back.
Great.
And
with the cutaway up top.
One of the things that I did was add, like you just said, the comfort cut here. And this was something that I did back in 90 or 91. And when I had them making me custom shop guitars, they put these in my Telecasters. And so when I got my model, I wanted to implement that as well. So it has that, and it does taper here a little bit too. So the other thing about the guitar is the actual size of the neck. I went through a lot of necks to find the size that I like. For my size, I have fairly large hands, so I tend to like a larger neck.
Yeah.
It feels more, substantial to me, I guess. And I think it might actually affect the sound of the guitar too, you know?
Sure.
And what else do we do here that's different? We've got the DiMarzio Chopper T, which is a great pickup. It's a humbucking pickup, but it's not super hot, so you still can get the Telecaster sound.
Yeah.
You know, and what else? The only thing that I do that's kind of an aftermarket trick is I put this little tuner on here. This is a guitar tuner, so when I'm in the dressing room, I can check my tuning, and that's pretty cool. And then I added this little drop D tuner in case I want to drop down to D.
Sure.
Those are the two aftermarket things, but everything else, when you pull the guitar off the rack, it's the guitar that I play. Oh, one other kind of cool thing in the electronics in this position, that's not a tone knob, that's a series parallel switch.
Oh, okay.
So you actually can get some different, I'll show you, it's going to be a little loud, but... And then you switch this. You hear the difference in tone, it gets more aggressive.
Yeah.
A little more of a mid-range. So for some solo stuff, it's kind of interesting, you know, have that option.
Right.
And but those are the major things about the guitar.
What's the neck pickup? Is that?
That's a DiMarzio standard, it's called a Twang King. It's basically a normal replacement, Telecaster pickup.
Like with hum canceling or
no,
is it stacked?
No,
or
it's just normal, standard, you know, just like what, you know, the original Telecaster pickup.
Very cool. So, and you're basically doing with one guitar.
I do the two. I mean, I don't switch unless a disaster happens, you know, string breaks or something horrible. But the other guitar that's back there is the identical thing to this.
Sure.
The only difference is that guitar doesn't have the tuner built into it.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's the same thing. And I don't switch guitars in this particular situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you're like singing every song, you're doing the whole thing. You are on call, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So I pat my head and rub my stomach.
Right, right. Well, very cool. So, and then you're running these two amps. Tell us about these. These are signatures as well, right?
Yeah, you know, I've kind of gone through, the amp thing. I've tried a lot of different things, and I kind of go between Marshall and Fender. But in 2004, quite some time ago, this company from England called Cornford, we developed a signature model head. And so I flew over there several times and literally sat in there with the tech and tried different resistors and different capacitors based on what I was looking for in the tone. And we came up with this. Now, this amp is just a power supply for that cabinet, but this is the one that I'm running the preamp section through. So you've got your gain stage, bass, middle, treble, master volume, and presence. It's a very simple amp.
Yeah.
Very much like a Marshall 4-input model Plexi, except it has an extra gain stage with a tube overdrive. So technically, I can get enough overdrive from this amp to plug straight in. And back in the day when I was using this exclusively, my rig was just this amp.
Wow.
I literally just plugged into the Cornford, And that was it.
Really?
That's how great this amp is.
Wow, no it, delay, no verb.
Then,
no.
And then I did later on I introduced the delay unit that sat here inside the effects loop.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, I just plugged straight in and I didn't need anything else. It's an amazing amp. Unfortunately, you can't really get them.
No, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, we sold a bunch of them back 10 years ago. And we were on the cover of one of the guitar magazines in the UK and won Amp of the Year, and it was really celebrated. But for whatever reason, the company went in a different direction, and they're no longer available. So if you find one, they're pretty pricey. But
yeah.
I'd like to find a way to maybe update them and get them out on the market again, because they really sound really cool. They're really easy.
Yeah.
You know, I like amps that are simple. You know, I would even take off this section, I could remove this and put one tone knob and voice it that way, which is what I would do if I modified it, because you know, you don't need a million things to get
right.
a great tone.
Yeah, they sound amazing. So you're not running stereo.
I'll show you what I'm doing with the rig. It's directly tying into my fly rig, my effect pedal
yeah.
that I use. This is my rig right here, this whole business here.
Wow.
And we've got the fly rig, my wireless, and this really cool wah pedal made in Brazil by a company called Fire Wah. And the fly rig is basically a multi-effect processor. You've got a delay with a tap tempo function. You've got the overdrive and then a reverb with a sans amp built in. The reason I have two is I'm running two different delays. So this delay is pretty severe. And it's really set to do kind of crazy effects and
yeah.
more stylized noise. This one is inside the effects loop of the Cornford.
Oh.
So it really gives you a more, you know, a normal delay, where this
right.
one you put it on, it's more chaotic, basically.
Yep.
And so the way the amps are run is you've got this going in front, okay? But then this is in the effects loop and only coming through the amp on the left.
Oh, cool.
So the amp on the right is the main amp. Everything's going through that, with the exception of this delay return, which is appearing on the amp on the left.
Giving you kind of a wet, dry thing?
Sort of, exactly. Kind of a little bit of a back and forth sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that's really it. It's simple.
That's great. Man, I love the fact that you actually play the stuff you endorse, because there's so many artists
well, you
that
know,
don't.
I guess that's why I don't really, you don't see me endorsing a lot of things. I mean, I've played this guitar, well, the first guitar they gave me was in 1990, so I've been essentially playing this guitar for however long that is,
yeah.
25 years, I guess,
right? Yeah.
Right? And so it's not broken, why fix it? You know, I'm kind
yeah.
of a loyal guy. I like it, sounds great, plays great. And with this pedal thing, I had the idea of this. I actually took the delay that's in here. It was in a separate unit made by Tech 21. And I cut out the PC board and I put it in this little box and I put my favorite overdrive in there. So I had four press buttons, and then I was playing from a Fender amp at the time, so I had the tremolo and the reverb switch in there. So I had this little box that I made. It was really crude. And actually, if you want to see it, there's a video somewhere on YouTube of a song of mine called Remember. And I'm playing with my band and it goes down to my feet and you'll see this really crude box. But I did it because back then I was doing a lot of fly dates where I'd come in and I'd be on like a Fender Twin, or they'd have like a Marshall or something. I never knew what I was playing through.
Right.
And I wanted something really simple. I didn't want to drag a pedal board.
Yeah.
So I put all this shit into one unit so I could throw it on the floor and just go. And I called it like a, you know, fly dates, you know, fly rig type
yeah.
thing. So when I showed it to my friend at Tech 21, he loved the idea and ran with it. And we ended up here with the RK5 fly rig. And it's really convenient, you know, you can do a lot with it. And you can play direct. You can plug it right in to your recording system.
Yeah, the whole sans amp thing, right.
Totally. Yeah, it yeah. works great.
Yeah, man, that's killer. That's the perfect, it's like, it's amazing the economy of it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and that was the idea, to get it really small. Okay, so the cool thing about this is you've got, you know, your delay circuit, you've got your reverb circuit, and then your overdrive, which is two stage. But if you notice, you know, I hit the overdrive, those lights come on. Those are the actual potentiometers that light up. And then the boost, that one turns on. Red for overdrive, whatever color that is. And then blue for that. And it's pretty convenient. The other thing that's cool is this sends phantom power. So when you look over here, on this one. This is sending phantom power into my wah. So the wah has no battery and no need for any sort of AC adapter because it's seeing power through this. And basically
through the quarter inch?
Yeah, that quarter inch is a three, you know, a stereo cable.
Oh, wow.
So one of those leads is sending, you know, a hot signal into here to power it.
That's
so,
a great idea.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, Richie, thanks so much for joining us, man. All best of luck. Love the winery dogs. Love all your work, man.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Yeah. Right on. Cool. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Peace out. Yeah, get that on film. Okay. Cheers. Hey, this is John Bollinger. I'm with Billy Sheehan of the Winery Dogs and many other legendary bass player. Billy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to be here.
Man, I got to ask first about your bass. This is your signature that you've had for years now.
A long time, actually, yeah. I've been with Yamaha for about 30 years.
Wow.
And they've been awesome. This is actually the prototype of version 3. I have a production model also. I switch off between them live.
Yeah.
They're virtually identical. Actually, production model is a little tighter.
Really?
This is made by hand. The other one was made by, this is made in a like the custom shop.
Yeah.
As a prototype. But the one that they did in their normal production quality control, it's just they've got it down.
So when you go to Guitar Center and you pick out that bass, it's going to actually be maybe even better.
I generally play the production model ones.
I happen
to have this one as a prototype because I'm waiting for another blue one. But
cool,
but they're identical. Yeah.
So how has it evolved over the years in Model 3 as opposed to 1 and 2?
Well, we got a different neck to body joint. We got two screws going in at an angle like this.
Oh, okay.
Grabbing that neck and pulling it into the socket.
Wow.
So
tone transference? Or?
Yeah, actually, we did a test where we loosened the screws. This is enough already there to hold it in place.
Yeah.
Loosen the screws, try it. That's great. Feels good. Tighten them up, and all of a sudden, it just came alive.
Wow.
You just get the transference end grain to end grain into the socket here.
Huh.
Seemed to make a great difference. They also did artificial aging of the wood.
Oh, really?
They got a process that's crazy, this giant machine, and these blocks of wood go in and out for exact amount of time, pressure, temperature, heat, whatever.
So you
get artificially ages the wood.
Brand new vintage instrument.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
And everything else is pretty much the same. We also did a more of a Strat-like little spot for the quarter-inch jacks here, because before it was in wood, and we had to use those Switchcraft plugs that you put it like in the end pin of a guitar.
Right.
And they're great, but since you can't really clean them out, that was the only weak spot.
Sure.
And playing hot and heavy, sweaty rock and roll, that was the only thing on the bass that would fail. I would have to swap those out once in a while. So this way, they're the normal, regular quarter-inch jack, so it's a lot easier to get in there, bend the little thing if it's not quite touching, or clean it off with some
That's cool, cleaner, man. So. It's cool that you've done all this, like, research and development on your own instrument over the years, really honed it in. That's so cool.
I think it has a lot to do, for me, and some guys aren't like that. I know Jeff Beck goes and just gets a guitar out of the shop and does the show.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But I got to really fine-tune things. So, and back in the day, there was nobody to do it but yourself. So I learned how to do fret dressing and intonation and just about, I do everything except for fret replacement. I haven't done that yet, but everything else I do.
On the road, do you set up your own gear or does Jeff?
Oh, no, he sets it up.
Yeah, but I mean, like set up as far as like intonation and all that jazz.
I do a lot of it. And a lot of times I change my own strings too, because it just gives me tuned into the bass.
Right.
Like I would find out something about the bass I might not know if someone else did it.
Yeah.
But in this case, because we're tight on time, Jeff's been kind enough to change my strings.
Yeah. Well, it's his job. Well, okay, so very cool. So that, and then you're a man of many effects.
Actually, there's not a lot of effects here. There's two effects.
Well, you're a man of many tones. Let me put it differently. Because you do, watching you get a ton of different, I mean, it's so varied.
It's on right now. Is it on? No, it's not on. Yeah, there's a couple different variations.
Yeah.
Basically, it's gotten simply though. Basically, there's a neck position pickup for super deep.
Yeah.
So that's super deep. And then the P bass pickup is all the high frequency. I'll turn it way down here because it's B. A distortion, and I also clean it up with a. So I got that clean tone is always there. I add the distortion in. Here's a clean underneath there. Yeah. Now when you add the third one, you get the deep analog giant low end.
Wow. So
the only real effect there is that's why the only 1 foot pedal is distortion on,
right.
Distortion off.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's funny because with that neck pickup, it almost feels like an octaver comes in because you get all these subtones.
Yeah, it's super deep. Now yeah. There is an octaver too. I got the
right.
I don't, actually, I'm not even using it in the show.
Well, you see, even with it off, you almost kind of hear that.
That's a deep.
It's implied. Yeah. There's like
And that's an old, like the Gibson EBO.
Right.
The Hofner Beetle Bass with that neck position pickup. So it was a real popular thing back in the 60s and 70s. And I know a couple of guys, I've seen pictures of Mel Shacker from Grand Funk Railroad who had the EBO pickup in the neck position.
Right.
My old original P-Bass had the chrome EBO pickup.
Do you still have that bass?
Oh, yeah, sure do.
Cool.
That's still in the closet there. Hidden away. And then I also, just to be ridiculous, but again, I still don't use it in the show at all. I don't never hit it once during the night, but I got the... So if I wanted to go, you know, both, get go. So if I want to really go crazy, but I actually don't end up using it in the show because a lot of times there's not much time to come over here and hit anything.
Yeah, right. Well, it's so huge. I mean, that tone, there's like no room for anything else.
Yeah, the three-piece band allows you to expand your tonality because I'm basically trying to just underpin it, chord implications for Richie.
Yeah.
For him to solo over or play over in a single.
That's such a cool thing about your playing because you really are your bass, but you're also kind of rhythm guitar and and then your lead guitar times.
It comes from playing a three-piece band.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, Dallas and Buffalo.
Yeah.
We would do, like Schizoid Man.
Yeah.
By King Crimson, and I would have to play that, you know, I would do the, there was a soprano sax trill. Tried to get that little thing that was on the record.
Right.
And we'd play like White Punks on Dope, Carry On Wayward Son, Burn by Deep Purple, a lot of stuff that required more instrumentation. So I could get away with doing it because that low pickup was always hanging onto the bottom end.
Right.
So in a way we could do a similar thing now with the Winery Dogs.
And I think you were doing like tapping things even like before Van Halen was like
I
really
started in 74.
Yeah.
I saw Billy Gibbons play. And he went, what is that? And we all looked at each other. Did you see that? He touched the neck and a note came out.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you look on YouTube, prior to Van Halen, who really popularized it, make no mistake about it, you never see a guy doing that. And there's no hand over here. It's all this the whole time.
Right.
So it was really quite a big sea change,
If
you will, when that all went down. But when I heard Ed Van Halen doing it, it kind of broke my heart because I thought it was my shtick. but of course, he had it incredibly on his own. Yeah. He owned it.
But as far as bass, man, you are the guy, I think, that brought that whole tapping thing in there.
If you say so.
Okay. I said it here. Well, great, man. Well, let's run through a little bit of this. Can you just tell us a little bit about your pedal board?
Well, first of all, you might wonder why it's not on the floor. It's just my experience on the floor. You got to run a line way out to the front of the stage, run a line all the way back. I don't really do much changing anyway, so I don't need to step on it.
Right.
And so I just would like to keep it close, keep the cords short, keep it uptight. Make it tight and simple.
Right.
Plus, it's one less thing to trip over, one less thing to have a drink spilled on.
Right.
It's just my personal thing. I know it's crazy, but that's what I do. Main tone center is the distortion from the EBS. This pedal's been extremely successful for the company. They're very, very pleased with it. So it's the second biggest selling pedal ever. And
that's
emails from people every day that got it. It allows you to you can turn this distortion down on its own, and you've got normal, clean, regular old bass untouched. Ghost in as much distortion as you want and any kind of distortion, real high gain, low gain, wherever, a little tone center you want it. It's got a little built-in compression, and it's got a loop. These are tip ring sleeve plugs. It's got a loop for the clean channel and a loop for the distortion channel. In the clean channel, redundantly, I have another one hooked in. Because the clean is a little too clean, I want a little bit of dirt on it, so what can give me a little bit of dirt while still passing clean signal? The same thing. So I put another one on. So I did. And that's what that is. Now it all comes out of that. The output of this now goes to the amazing Keeley Compressor Pro.
Right.
They're relatively new. They just came
out. Yeah, just came, right.
And they are really a pro audio compressor in a box. And actually, it took me a little while to get used to it because I used to more, for a long time, I used all only pro audio stuff in racks and racks and racks of gear. I didn't have any consumer good stuff at all. So going back to a real pro audio compressor took me a while to really, really feel it out. It's a really a fine-tuned piece. And then it goes from there into, into the ISP decimator for noise reduction. Usually don't need it.
Yeah.
But in case, especially with video walls, sometimes a little, pick it up from the packs. And then that goes to a crossover, which trims low frequencies off. So that's why this sounds so thin.
Right.
It's, anything below, about 300 cycles, 250 cycles is gone.
Huh.
Which sounds odd and really doesn't sound like a bass at all.
Yeah.
But similar to if you hear if you hear somebody ring out a PA and they just play music through the tweeters,
right?
You go, God, that's horrible. It'll never work until you turn the rest of it on. And go, right. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
And that's why the low frequency thing comes in and fills all the gaps up.
Yeah, that little separation like that does make everything pop. You know?
Yeah, because you got no low frequencies to make it muddy.
Yeah.
You get the low frequency somewhere else.
Right.
And it's basically analogous to a woofer and a tweeter.
Sure.
One transducer can do just so many frequencies at one time. So split it into two with a crossover and you got a lot more efficient and better sounding system. That's a principle at work here, not exactly the same. Then I have the POG in there too, but like I said before, I don't really use it much, but it's really great.
Yeah.
I used to have the H910 harmonizer. That was awesome. This is almost as good. It really is a great octave up.
Yeah, those are great.
I love so much of the electro-harmonic stuff. Really fantastic. And the low end, as I said, I got the octave-based thing. But in both cases, I haven't had time to turn them on during the show even once.
So, yeah.
So that's that. And then powered by the Voodoo Labs, great, rock solid.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. And that's about it.
Right.
Compression on the low. It's a separate pickup and a separate amp, so it gets its own compressor there as well.
Well, that's great. Great.
And that's my...
Let's gingerly put this down.
Problemo.
Yeah.
And using the Line 6 wireless, I was going to get the new ones, but they didn't have the packs in production yet when I left LA. Yeah. So when I go back, the next leg we do, I'll probably use the new ones.
Yeah, these sound great.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
And the new ones, I had a meeting with them, and I told them some things I thought would be kind of cool. And I doubt if it was just me, but they had a meeting with a lot of other people. But everything I said, they did.
No, that's
which
great.
Is great. So, yeah. Really awesome.
Yeah. How nice to have Line 6 like listening. And
oh, they're a great company. I like them very much. Then everything goes through the Hartke LH1000s. I had the HA5500s also for the high and then this for the low. But traveling around a lot, it's hard to get all the same amps all the time. These are real consistent. There's nothing to them. There's not even a master volume control. It's just a little, like a, almost a Fender input stage.
Yeah.
And a giant 1,000-watt solid-state power amp. Done.
So are you running all three of these?
High frequencies, low frequencies, and pedals.
Wow.
Bass pedals.
So a mere 3,000 watts.
Yeah, but I'm whispering through that. But the good thing about that is you really got a lot of headroom.
Yeah.
I'd rather whisper through an amp of 1,000 watts than try to squeeze it out of a 25-watt amp.
Yeah.
But in fact, and on stage volume, you were here for sound check.
Right.
Did the stage volume sound?
No, it's not loud. Yeah, the PA's doing all the work, really.
All the low ends come from 115. And the high end comes from 115. Now, lately I've been adding this 15 in, and there's a little balance control so I can turn it up and down however much I want. Without having to change anything here, I can get a little bit more volume.
That's great.
That helps a lot, especially if I want to get a little feedback thingy.
Right.
And in the old days, I had a JBL K130 or K140 speakers, which had an aluminum dust cap.
Yeah.
So it a little bit analogous to that aluminum piece in the high drive speakers. And I've opened these cabinets up from Hartke. Because like in the old days, any new piece of gear I got, I always had to open it up and look inside. And they really are put together correctly and with the right screws and right speaker bolts and wired properly. And the quality control is excellent. So
that's
I'm
great.
Real pleased with them.
Yeah, during soundcheck, you're just, I mean, it's so omnipresent, but not like overbearing at all.
Great.
You know? Yeah,
great.
Killer.
Yeah, that's
man.
The idea. I want people to hear the notes, but I,
Yeah.
Like when I'm recording and playback, I generally keep playback super quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you can talk over the playing easily when I'm doing a recording session.
Yeah.
So that makes it easy. And the other drummers warming up back there.
Warming up. Well, Billy, look, I know you got to run, but man, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us.
And, pleasure.
Hey, congratulations. Thank you very much. I love the new band.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Yeah, we're very grateful. Yeah. It's going very well. Thank you very much, man.
Yeah, the whole supergroup thing's always scary, but this one like really works.
We're enjoying each other, enjoying our time on stage, enjoying our time off stage, which is important too. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's killer band, man. The record's great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Great. Okay, Billy. Man. Okay, peace out.
See ya.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.